You cannot get through life without hitting moments of major disappointment when something you're asked to do doesn't go so well. And we find ourselves staring failure in the face.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, as those who've been listening know, we're in a series called The Apostle's Apprentice. We're taking a look at Timothy. And he faced some pretty major disappointments in his ministry.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And no one who serves the Lord will avoid that. I mean, I'm fascinated by Timothy's story. I mean, can you imagine the joy, the sense of privilege that must have been his to become the apostle's apprentice? I mean, I get to travel with the apostle Paul. But then where does he go? He ends up for an extended time with the apostle Paul in Corinth. Now, you read through 1 Corinthians. Yeah. And that is a church that had massive, massive problems.
Yeah.
And so here's a young believer, the apostle's apprentice, and he's plunged into a dysfunctional church. And what's he going to do? And how's he going to overcome that? That's what we're looking at today. If you have had the experience of being wounded and of being discouraged by seeing something in the life of a local church that has just set you back, I'm so glad that you're listening to the program today. We're going to look at some of the dysfunctions that were in this church in Corinth, a real church, and yet, boy, make your hair stand on end, some of the things that had gone on there. And then we're going to look at how faith is sustained, how we can come through experiences that are very discouraging, but by God's grace, we can overcome and serve Him still.
So if you can, open your Bible and join us in the book of 1 Corinthians as we begin this message called Disappointment. Here's Pastor Colin.
We're going to continue today our series that we're calling The Apostle's Apprentice, and we're following the life of Timothy, who served as an apprentice to the Apostle Paul. And our aim in following the story is for us to learn how we can be increasingly useful as servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. And today we're going to come to a critical turning point in his life, which was his first big experience of disappointment. And it's an important message because sooner or later this will come to us all. You cannot get through life without hitting moments of major disappointment when something you're asked to do doesn't go so well. Where, like Timothy, you're not able to accomplish what you wanted to achieve. And we find ourselves staring failure in the face. What are we going to do then? Nobody gets through life without facing disappointment. And how you handle it will be the key to future usefulness. That's what we're going to discover from this episode in the life of Timothy, because Timothy is really a model to us of how to respond to disappointment. He didn't allow the disappointment and pain of his experience to destroy his ministry. Rather, what he did was he used it to make his ministry more effective. Now, I do hope that you will follow this story in the Bible with me. It's a very fascinating one as we piece the various parts together. We're going to begin in Acts in chapter 18 this morning, so I invite you to turn with me in your Bible there. Acts and chapter 18. Now, you'll see from the beginning of the chapter there that we're told here the story of what happened the first time that Paul arrived in this town of Corinth. You need to know that Corinth was the Las Vegas of the ancient world. So the fact that there was a church planted there was quite a remarkable thing. And we're told that when Paul arrived there, chapter 18 and verse 1, he met up with this couple by the name of Aquila and Priscilla, and he stayed with them, and in verse 4, we're told he followed his usual pattern every Sabbath, reasoning in the synagogue, trying to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. Then we're told, once he got this ministry going, that verse 5, Silas and Timothy arrive, and when they come, it seems that they took up some kind of employment, because it's from that point onward, verse 5, that Paul is able to give himself to the work of preaching full time. He'd been making tents with Priscilla and Aquila before that. You come to verse 6, and we find that again there was some opposition. Look at it there, verse 6. When the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, notice what he did. He shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." So he moves the focus of his ministry, and the house of a man called Titius Justus, which was just next door to the synagogue, becomes the place where Paul's ministry continues. And we're told that here many people were baptized after they had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul had continued this for a little while, and it seems then that he came to the point of feeling that it might be right for him to move on from Corinth and to begin work in another place. But then verse 9, notice what happened. The Lord intervened. One night, verse 9, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Don't be afraid." You notice even Paul struggled with fear sometimes. And God said to him, "Now, Paul, don't you be afraid. You keep on speaking. Don't be silent. I'm with you. No one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." What a great vision that was. God says, "There are many people in this city to be won for Christ, so you stay here." That's the vision. There's a great harvest that's going to come right here in Corinth. So we're told, verse 11, that Paul stayed there, in fact, for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. And Timothy was with them during that time. What was Timothy doing? I guess he was working, and with Timothy and Silas earning, they supported Paul, it seems, during this period, so that he was released to be full-time in the work. And then beyond that, we're told in 2 Corinthians 1:19, where Paul talks about the Son of God who was preached to you by Silas, Timothy, and myself. So Timothy was involved in the preaching. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul specifically says that he didn't baptize many people, only a few. So we can reasonably assume that Silas and Timothy were doing baptizing and discipling of young converts and so forth for this year and a half. Then after about 18 months, the missionary team of Paul and Silas and Timothy, they leave Corinth and they move on to Ephesus for their first visit, and then later they returned there and remained some time. Now, some years after this, Paul received a letter. We read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. He received a letter that came from the believers at Corinth, and it was a disturbing letter because it made it clear that there were obvious problems in this church that Paul, Silas, and Timothy had planted. Around the same time, there were some friends of Paul's who were in Corinth who came and visited Paul, and alongside the letter that he had received, these friends gave a first-hand report and made it very clear that there were significant problems in the church. This prompted Paul to do two things. The first was to write a letter, which we know as 1 Corinthians. The second was, guess what? He sent Timothy. They were in serious difficulties in Corinth, and I want to take a few moments just to give a review or an overview of the problems they were facing, which really are typical of the kinds of problems that churches often face. And so I've called this, I just wrote out the problems, and it happened to be 10. So I've called this 10 Dysfunctions of a Local Church. And it's just an overview of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to race through it very quickly, and you will recognize that these are problems that churches often face, and the scriptures address them very directly in this very significant letter.
All right, you're going to have to wait just a moment. We're going to pause right here, but we'll get back and take a look at those 10 dysfunctions of local church in just a moment. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. Our message is called Disappointment. It's part of a series called The Apostles' Apprentice. And if you miss any broadcast in the series, you can come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You could also listen through the Open the Bible app. That's free. You'll find it at your favorite app store. Or we'll link you to it through the website. Again, openthebible.org. Let's get back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Are you ready to go here? 10 dysfunctions of a local church. Number one, division around personalities. That's what happened at Corinth. You have it in chapter 1 and verse 3. And chapter 3, people in the congregation rallied around different personalities. The focus on personalities displaced the centrality of Jesus Christ. So 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 12, one of you says, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas, that's Peter. And still another says, I follow Christ. If you take it up in chapter 3, Paul says there, for since, chapter 3, verse 3, since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? They're only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. So this runs throughout 1 Corinthians, and it was a significant difficulty in the life of the church, division around personalities. Number two, second dysfunction, spiritual pride. And again, this is focused in many places, but especially 1 Corinthians chapter 4. The Corinthian church really thought that they were something. They felt that they had everything going for them to such a degree that they had really lost touch with any realistic sense of their dependence upon the Lord. So chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul says to them, he asked them two questions. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as though you did not? Chapter 4 and verse 7. Dysfunction number three, distrust of leaders. Now, this runs right throughout both 1 and 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 to 13. Of all the churches in the New Testament, Corinth was by far the most difficult to lead. This is clear from 1 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 10 to 13. Paul was judged more severely by the believers in Corinth than he was in any other place he ever visited. Now look for a moment with me at chapter 4 and verses 1 to 5. Men ought to regard us, that's Paul, Timothy, and Silas, as servants of Christ and those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required of those who have been given a trust that they must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you, Paul says, or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness, and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. Now, you put this alongside 2 Corinthians chapter 10 through 13, and what becomes very, very clear is that there was a persistent pattern among the congregation in Corinth of judging Paul's motives, and the judgments that were made were not very kind. And Paul says this. He said, now look, what you need to hear is this. What really matters is not the judgments you make about me, and they're not even the judgments I make about myself. What really matters here is the judgment of God about me, about you, and about everyone else. That's what he says to the church in Corinth. And he says this, and it's very sober. One day, the motives of all men will be revealed. They're not revealed now, but one day they will be, and God will bring to light what is hidden, and at that time, each one of us will receive exactly what is due from the Lord. These are very, very powerful words, and they were spoken in a situation, you see, where the dynamics in the congregation had fomented extensive criticism of the missionary team that had planted the church. So dysfunction number three is distrust of leaders. It's all the way through 1 and 2 Corinthians. Dysfunction number four, failure to exercise church discipline. Now, you find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and the story is taken up in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, now I won't go into the details, you can read them all there at your leisure, but it describes a chronic case of persistent and continuing sin in the church, which, because the church prided itself on its tolerance, was never dealt with. And failure to exercise effective church discipline is the fourth dysfunction of a local church. Number five, threats of lawsuits. This is 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. Will you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 7? The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means that you have been completely defeated already. Wow. You're completely defeated already where that begins to happen, he says to the Corinthians. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Do you know it's not the end of the world if you're wronged? Why not rather be cheated, he says. You've got to think about the advance of the kingdom. And that's the apostolic priority. Dysfunction number six, discontent among marrieds and singles. This is the focus of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And here, if you look at chapter 7 and verse 1, you'll see the reference to the letter that had originally come from Corinth for about the matters that you wrote about. It is good for a man not to marry. The Corinthians had raised this whole question about singleness and marriage. There were many problems over it. And you can read through it in chapter 7. The heart of the issue is that some married people desperately wanted to be single, and some single people desperately wanted to be married. Sound familiar? And more than that, some single people had become sexually active, and some married people had just been celibate. And Paul addresses both problems. Dysfunction number six, discontent among marrieds and among singles. Dysfunction number seven, confusion about Christian freedom. This is the focus of chapters 8 to 10. And the issue here is that some believers were so concerned about being different from the world. You're concerned about being different from the world? Well, some Christians were rightly so concerned about being different from the world that they had established fairly rigid rules of behavior. This is how it's done. And became increasingly like the Pharisees. Other believers in the same church were so deeply concerned about connecting with the world, we ought to be concerned about that. But they were so concerned about connecting with the world that they ended up with lifestyles that sometimes were indistinguishable from the culture. So confusion over Christian freedom is the seventh dysfunction. Dysfunction number eight, tension over worship. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11 through 14. And the whole issue of how the church should worship had become a focus of debate in Corinth. And Paul in these chapters lays out the principles of unity and diversity. There are different kinds of gifts, chapter 12, verse 4, and the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, and the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, and the same God works all of them in all men. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 6. Dysfunction number 9, loss of an eternal perspective. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, continued in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We turn to chapter 15 and verse 12. Paul says, if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, which obviously it is, and he's just said that, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? So clearly some folks in Corinth were teaching that there is no resurrection from the dead for Christian believers. And if that were true, What it would mean, of course, is that being a Christian would be all about finding a more fulfilled life now. Sound familiar? See, the loss of an eternal perspective, we get our eyes off heaven and eternity in the presence of the Lord, and what do we end up with? A form of Christianity that is about Jesus giving you a more fulfilled life now. That's exactly what was happening in Corinth, and it's what chapter 15 is all about. By the way, some scholars think that the loss of an eternal perspective, the issue in chapter 15, was actually the root cause of all the other problems that existed at the church in Corinth. And personally, I think that they're right. That takes us to the 10th dysfunction, reluctant giving. Fascinating. Right at the end of the letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1, now about the collection for God's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do on the first day of the week. Every one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up. And he proceeds to speak about the issue of giving. What's fascinating is that when you take this up in 2 Corinthians, written just a short time later, there are two whole chapters on this, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And if you follow the story there, it becomes clear that the Corinthians had started giving, and then after a period, some of them began to hold back. So there were a few problems in Corinth, right? So what does Paul do? Two things. One, he gives them scripture. He wrote 1 Corinthians under the inspiration of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians is scripture, right? So he gives them scripture. That's number one. Number two, he sends them a pastor, Timothy.
Well, Timothy did go to Corinth, and there he faced disappointment as well. And he had to learn how to deal with that. We can learn how to overcome and deal with our disappointment. Our message is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians. We're in chapter 4 today as we continue in our series, The Apostle's Apprentice. And if you missed any of the broadcasts in our series, I hope you'll come and listen online. Our website address is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We're able to be on the station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you an Advent devotional to help you prepare your heart for this Advent season. It's a 24-day devotional from Pastor Colin. And Colin, this is based on Isaiah chapter 40, right?
Yes, it's a marvelous chapter of scripture to meditate on, especially as we're preparing ourselves for Christmas. And it's so full of good things. I mean, just verse after verse speak to us wonderfully. I mean, for example, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Now, that beautiful image of the flower and the grass fading away, it just speaks to us of the fragility of life. And we all come to places when we're feeling how fragile things are, things that we have, things that are around us, our own lives, the lives of other people we love and trust. And suddenly, when you become aware of the fragility of everything in this world, you begin to say, what is there solid? What is there that I can rest on? What is there that will never move? And here Isaiah says, the word of the Lord stands forever. That builds strength into the soul. So this chapter is just full of wonderful, rich truth that will build, nourish, strengthen your soul. And it leads to this marvelous promise that's the title of the devotional. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. So if you need renewed strength, this is a wonderful chapter of scripture for you to meditate on.
Well, we want to send you, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support and to help you prepare your heart for this Advent season, Pastor Colin's devotional book, Waiting for the Lord. You can find out more or give your gift online when you come to openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. Our website is openthebible.org, and again, the phone number, 1-877-673-6365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. How you respond to failure will shape your character. Find out how you can respond positively next time on Open the Bible.